Amen. Take a seat. Hey, we're glad you're with us tonight. I want to tell you a story that I worked at a place in high school called Southwest Garden Center. It was an amazing place. It was a garden center where they sold all kinds of landscaping stuff, plants, all that kind of thing. And at 16 and 17 years old, I worked there in the summer. And I remember I had a boss named Dan, and Dan would schedule me for about 4 hours a week. And I would always be like, I'd love to work more. I'm making $3.65. If you don't mind, it'd be awesome. An hour. And he would call me, and you know, teenagers, when you're a teenager, you love getting woken up in the morning. That's awesome. You know, you're like trying to sleep, and he would not schedule me, but he'd call me, and he'd say, Bron, it's Dan from Southwest Garden Center. You ready to work today? He'd do that every day almost. And I go, how about put me on the schedule? That'd be awesome. And then I would go in and work. And it was always if people came, he would have me come and work. And so I did that for a while, and my parents were always like, yeah, learn to work. That's good. Get over there and go get them. And then one day Dan said to me, he said, hey, Bron, I've been thinking about, I'd love for you to be our night watchman. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean exactly? So what we'll do is we'll give you about 2 or 3 hours of work at night. And then from there, I just want you to be on the property so it'll be a deterrent to anybody who wants to come rob the place because everybody's trying to get plants. I don't know. And so I remember I would work for a few hours, and then I would find that big stack of fertilizer, the 10, 40, 10 or whatever it was, and I would get up on top of that and I'd just sit there for hours. $3.65 an hour, though. I was raking it in. And I would sit there on this fertilizer, and I remember inevitably I would fall asleep. And what Dan told me, the great plan that he had for me is if someone comes up and looks suspicious, just run out the back, jump the fence, and go somewhere and call the police. Awesome. Okay? And I thought about that later. I was like, my parents either were okay with me. I was expendable to my parents. They're like, oh, yeah, go be a night watch. We'd love that. And so strange thing, but I learned about all kinds of plants. I don't want to brag, but I know that impatiens are a shade plant and flower. They're better in the shade. And vinca periwinkles are sun, in case you're wondering. And I can hit you up with a lot of other knowledge like that. And that's probably the extent of it, actually. But what was really popular in Oklahoma were azaleas. And people would come in the spring and they wanted to plant azaleas, and Oklahoma has this wonderful clay soil, if you don't know about it. Anything, and you go over across the border to Oklahoma, everything is red-based clay soil. And so people would come and say, hey, we got to figure out how to get our azaleas to grow. They don't grow really very well in the soil. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I want you to think about tonight, we're going to talk about the sower parable. And in Mark 4, Jesus talks about these soils, and I want you to think about the condition of your heart tonight, the soil of your heart. Is it a place where the Lord could plant his word and his spirit could have reign in you, and it would be a place where it's receptive to God's word and his spirit? And I think what happens with us is we don't like to think about that a whole lot typically. We don't want to really reflect maybe on how we're doing in our walk with Jesus. Or maybe the lack thereof, because I don't know where everybody is spiritually tonight. But I know for me, I was thinking about some things that maybe keep us from checking our hearts. And I think there's a great need for us to do that daily. To sit with the Lord and say, search my heart, Lord. Know me. See if there's any anxious way in me. And I think we don't want to do that. And I think what we've fallen into potentially, and I don't know if this is you, but I've fallen into this trap, is that I get in this place where I think ignorance is bliss. And I want to tell you, I don't think ignorance is bliss when it comes to our walk with the Lord. In fact, what happens is what we think is, I don't have to be accountable for something that I don't know. And the reality is, ignorance, the truth is that ignorance into our walks, if we're not being sober-minded and reflecting on our walk with the Lord, it can cost us greatly. And it can make us delusional. It can make us in a place where I think what it is we're afraid we might find something out that the Lord convicts us of something and we don't want to be convicted. And if we're really honest, we love our sin or we love what we want to do and we don't want to trust or surrender to the Lord. And here's what I want to tell you tonight, is there's no better place to be surrendered than into the arms of Christ. And if you're in that place right now, what I'm going to get in your business a little bit tonight about is where your heart is, because Jesus talks about these three different soils. And so he's gonna talk about potentially that your heart may be, you may have a hardened heart, you may have a shallow heart, or you might have a crowded heart. And so we're going to talk about those three tonight. And so let me read the sower parable here for just a minute for us. And it's in Mark chapter 4, if you want to go there on your phone or in your Bible. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Another seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear." And so disciples are sitting around with Jesus. When Jesus would talk in these parables, the disciples would go, "Hey, are you going to tell us what that means?" You ever feel like that when you read some of the parables? You love that Jesus goes, "Okay, let me tell you what this means." And so he starts to unpack this parable. And he starts with this in verse 14. And it says this. It says, the sower sows the word. And so God's word, we need to be a place that we're receptive to that. God's word says about itself that it penetrates the most divided of hearts. It says that it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We need his word. We need his spirit. We need his people. And we need to be a soil that's receptive to all that the Lord has. And what happens is if we get so busy and we're just kind of cranking through life, and the only time that we think about our relationship to the Lord is when we come to gather or we come on a Sunday morning at our churches, if that's what we're doing, we're missing out on much of what the Lord has for us. And I don't want you to miss out. And that's why I'm sharing. I don't want to miss out. And so I'm reminding myself again tonight. But what happens here in verse 15, it says, "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." If you think about a path, when a path is walked on a lot, it becomes hardened. And it becomes hard for, if something's trampled a lot, then it's hard for something to take root. And I started thinking about this idea of a hardened heart. And here's what I want to ask you tonight. I want you to look at Hebrews 3:13. Let's pull that up on the screen. So, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So here's what I want to tell us tonight. I want to remind us of sin is something that can harden our heart towards the Lord. We can begin to believe. What I love in this verse is the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives us into thinking that there's life there. Y'all experienced that before? I have. When I've chased something that I thought would bring me life and I ran away from the Lord and I ran towards my own plan, I want to do what I want to do, and I kind of put the Lord aside, my heart can easily become hardened when that happens. And what it says is, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened." So that's why we have the body of Christ. That's why it's good to be around the table tonight after this message to talk about, hey, is there any place right now where sin is owning you? Or beginning to take hold of you, and the Lord is going, "It is for freedom that I came." And you're captured by this sin. And so sin is something that James 5:16 says, we ought to confess our sin to one another that we might be healed. And so I want you to think about, is there a place right now where the deceitfulness of sin has hardened your heart? And you want to let God's word and his spirit plow up that ground. At the Garden Center, I'm back on the Garden Center. I know you couldn't wait for me to talk about that again. There, when they would come for azaleas, what would happen is they would say, "Hey, I got to figure out a way to make the soil ready so these azaleas can take root." And what we would sell them is gypsum and peat moss, okay? And gypsum right here, that's an incredible picture. I'm glad I pulled that graphic. fast-acting gypsum. And what gypsum would do is it would soften the soil and make it more where it could receive that seed or that root of that plant. And so gypsum and peat moss would enrich the soil. And so what I want you to think about is what the peat moss is, what the gypsum is for your walk right now. What are the things that would soften your heart, soften the soil so the Lord can root up in you? And so the gypsum, when you're struggling with sin, is to confess and to repent and to let others in, let others pray for you and live in the light. John 3 says, men love darkness. We're afraid our deeds will be exposed. And so I'm so thankful that every week when I get together with my community group, I'm talking about, hey, here's where I want to run to. I'm getting out ahead of it because I'm going, my heart, and I'm tempted to go here, and I don't want my heart to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So let me tell you some other things that might be signs of a hardened heart for you. I wonder if some of you guys tonight are just have bitterness in your heart, if you're honest. You go, I'm just bitter. I don't like the lot that I have. I don't like the plan that God's unfolding for me. And I remember talking to one guy, reminded me of this bitterness I was telling about. I was taking this position with Gather, and he was used to being in student ministry with me. And I said to him, I was just telling him about how excited I was to get to hang with y'all. And he said, man, even talking about that ministry makes me angry. And I thought, well, what do you mean? And I just was watching him kind of wrestle with, I don't like where the Lord has me. And I was thinking about how when we let bitterness take root in us, it hardens our heart and it makes us not a receptive soil. And God's going, man, keep your heart soft. With my boys, one of the things we talk about is, hey, remain soft. If God is the potter and we are the clay, he wants to shape us. And if we are, you remember what the story of the Old Testament was all the time? The Israelites were described as stiff-necked. They didn't want to be taught. They didn't want to receive. They were hardened to the things of the Lord. When things didn't go their way, they were embittered, like, we want to go back to Egypt, which was crazy. So bitterness might be. Another one might be just apathy. I wonder if apathy has grabbed a place with you, where you just said, you know what? I'm getting tired of pursuing the Lord. I'm getting tired. You've moved to a place where you just go, man, I'm not pursuing the Lord. I'm just kind of going through the motions. And what I would tell you is the Lord would look at you and say, hey, run back to me. There's life here. If you've become apathetic in your walk, like sometimes I'm tempted to do, the Lord's going, do you know, I want to know you. I love you. My love for you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I want a relationship with you. And I want you to come back. If you've moved to that place, maybe you just go, man, I just don't care enough to care about my walk with Christ right now. I don't care enough to care about anybody else's walk either. I've just become apathetic. And so I want you to do a heart check tonight, the soil of your heart. Would you check and say, Lord, if my heart's become hardened, would you soften me again? Would you remind me of your mercy? Would you remind, you know what the best, one of the best remedies for apathy and bitterness is to remind yourself of the gospel. Preach the gospel, even to yourself. Even if you know the Lord, remind yourself what he's done for you. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians 5 this week. We were doing a study with the guys, and we were just looking at the wrath. Those of us who know Christ, we are not destined for his wrath. Now, the Lord disciplines the believer. God disciplines those he loves, Hebrews 12 says. But his wrath, we've been spared. And guess what? I was reading today in Colossians. I just couldn't believe it again, where it said, I am holy and blameless because of Jesus. I have no reproach anymore. I get to sit before him because it has been paid in full. Can you guys, do y'all see the amazing grace that God has showered on you? And when I move to a place of apathy or bitterness or my heart becomes hard, I just got to go back to the Lord and say, will you remind me of the gospel? Would you remind me of your goodness? Would you remind me that this isn't all there is and that one day I'm going to go be with you and it's going to be amazing? Let the Lord remind you. Second verse that Jesus says here in verse 16, he says, and these are the ones that are sown on rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. in verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So this is the shallow heart. Okay, and when I think about shallow hearts, I think about, I love the picture here. It says that they root up quickly, but the soil's not deep. And so when the sun comes, it scorches it. And the soil here not being deep is a picture of us struggling with not rooting ourselves in Christ. I think about when I used to go on ski trips with kids, we'd always drive through West Texas and we'd see these tumbleweeds flying across the road everywhere we went. I thought, tumbleweeds are kind of brittle, dried up, and they have no root and they just get kind of tossed here and there. And I thought about this thought that, man, I want to be rooted in Christ. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. Let's pull that up. I don't have it? Let me read it to you. That'd have been good for me to put that in there, huh, John? Colossians 2, 6 through 8. Listen to this. It says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Okay, so walk in him. There's this relationship there. And look what it says then. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Do y'all hear the established in the faith, the rooted walk with Jesus? And so I wonder for you right now, as you go, man, is your walk with the Lord rooted? And the only way that we root up in him is we pursue him. We're in his word. We're reminding ourselves of truth. We're praying. We're worshiping. We're building a relationship with him. And if you're wondering why sometimes you go, man, when tough times come, I get knocked off so easily, it might be because you're not rooting yourself in him. You're not walking in him. It's not that you know about him. You're walking in him. You're in relationship with him. And so I would tell you, think about that. If you're in a relationship with someone, you need time with them. And so one of the things, my son, I recently turned 50, and my son, we had the birthday party for me, and it was my son was sharing. He said, Dad, you know, the one thing I see every morning when I wake up is you in that chair in God's word. And I'm not telling you that about me. I'm telling you because I need him. I'm desperate to know him. And if I don't establish who he is, I remind myself of who he is and be rooted up, man, I think everything revolves around me. And every time something comes, any persecution or tribulation comes, I can quickly fall away too and turn to other things. And I run back to what we talked about, that hardened heart, and I run to sin. I could run to that so easily. And I'm desperate for him. That's why I'm in that chair in God's word. And I hope you will be too. You know what happens when you start to root up in Christ like that? You move from an only if faith to an even if faith. So think about that. Think about your walk with the Lord right now. If everything goes right, only if everything goes the way I want, I'm good. But even if it doesn't go the way I want, the Lord is faithful. He's faithful even when we're faithless. He can't deny himself. And so an even if faith says, man, Lord, I trust you. And you know what? I can even thank you in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5 again, when you are reminding yourself of the gospel, when you're establishing your faith, when you're rooted up in him, you can be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That's what the word says. And then it says, you know, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. You see all that and you go, how do you do that? Only through the power of the Spirit that's in you and only through your relationship with the Lord. You won't do it on your own. I won't either. But there's a dependence that the Lord is trying to teach us. You want to be someone who walks in and rooted up and established. And you know what the sign there that I love there that's kind of a sign of a maturity in your faith? With abounding in thanksgiving. You know, when I can tell when I'm not rooted up well, when I haven't been, you know, tending, sowing to the Spirit, I've been sowing the flesh, I'm the biggest complainer and wimp there is. I just am. I just watch the littlest things. You ever see that in yourself? You start acting like a teenager? And then I'm trying to tell my teenagers to quit acting like that. I go, oh, I'm acting like that. And what we move to immaturity when we're, because we're not so into the Spirit, we're just in our flesh. We're not rooting up. So a shallow heart is one that I want you to think about. Is that the place you are? And here's what I'd tell you. The gypsum for that is to practice the disciplines. And boy, we want shortcuts, don't we? We want to listen to a podcast and we want a song here. And I would just say, sit with the Lord, pray, journal, root up in who he is. It's one of the best things that happens with my walk with him is when I just spend some time with him. Get up a little earlier, spend some time with the Lord. You won't regret it. The third thing is this crowded heart. Let's flip over there. Mark 4 again. A crowded heart. Here it is. And others, in verse 18, are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Okay, this one's not going to be hard for us to figure out, right? Our crowded heart. My brother lives in, we just moved about 3 miles down the road, not because I wanted to move away from my brother. I love my brother. But he lived in the same neighborhood as me. And I would go over to my brother's house, and my brother had an incredible yard. Okay, you know those people? I'm not one of them. My brother was. And you'd go over to his house, and you go, there's not a weed in his yard. You know, if there is, he's spotted it and he's diving and tackling, pulling it out and all that. And I would watch. His yard looked amazing. And mine didn't quite look the same. And what I figured out was the one thing I did for my yard was I mowed it. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about that. It's a really great way to take care of your yard. My brother did a few more things than that. Okay, and what would happen is every time I turned around, my brother was going to get fertilizer, and he was going, which is, I don't know if y'all know about that. I slept on it at the garden center, but he would put it on his yard, and he would always call me and say, hey, I'm going to get fertilizer. Do you want some? That sounds like a lot of work. And so he would put that fertilizer down, and I would do it, you know, once every couple of years, and he would do it like, we're doing the spring, doing the fall, you know, the system. And I just remember watching his yard, and guess what happened? I looked in my backyard, and my backyard, the weeds were having a party back there and making fun of my grass, basically. And his yard was immaculate. There wasn't a weed in the yard, but mine was covered. And because the deal was, I didn't tend to my yard. And you know what? That's what happens with us. When we don't tend to the soil that God has for us, when we crowd out, these are great descriptions, aren't they? That when it says the cares of this world, think about the things that are distracting you right now, the things that consume you, things where your time and your talent and treasure, those three things, your time, talent, treasure, those are the things that wherever you're putting that, that's a lot of what is the nearest to your heart. And so I have to ask myself that all the time. What I struggle with, the cares of this world is I think about, I want my name to be great rather than the Lord's. That's one of my challenges. And here's the thing about the cares of the world. They're subject to change. And one thing that you were consumed with last week that you thought was such a big deal, and it's now no longer, but here's a new set of challenges this week. They always come back. The cares of this world are always changing, and they'll always leave you wanting. And then the deceitfulness of riches. I don't know if you have any money in the market right now, things are not going so great, okay? And if you get caught up in it, if change comes like that, man, that can really knock you off of your game. All of a sudden, you're running to other things. Your heart can become hardened. It exposes the shallowness of it. And so I just wrote on there that sometimes, if I'm honest, I go, I'm dreaming of a better life. If I just had this, I would be happy. And I will just tell you that what I've seen is when I thought I would just have this and I wasn't looking to Christ for my joy and my strengths, it was always a letdown. Always. So don't be caught up in the deceitfulness of riches that can crowd out your heart. And the desire for other things. These are the things that distract you from being committed to Christ. These are those weeds in your soil. What are the weeds right now? That's what you ought to ask yourself. What are the weeds that are choking life, that are keeping me from being rooted in Christ? Rooted and being this good soil that where when the seed of the word gets planted there, man, it just roots up. And I wrote some things down, like maybe it's conflict or opinion of others can be weeds. Maybe it's material things that never really satisfy. If I could take that vacation and I see others on Facebook get to have those, man, if I could do that, then I would be content. And I know that that really isn't true. And so that's why I noticed that you see the deceitfulness, remember what we talked about earlier, the deceitfulness of sin and the deceitfulness of riches, both can fool us and make us think there's life there. And we chase it. Lastly, I want to end with this, is that when I turned 50 recently, like I said, I was just sitting out by a lake. It's what you do when you turn 50, you go out by a lake and look at it. And it's really fun. And I was sitting out there and I just started writing down, I just said, Lord, where would I have been without you? If you hadn't opened my eyes to who you are, if you didn't lift the veil that I could see Jesus for who he is, how would my life be different? If you hadn't rooted me up in Christ, I encourage you to do that exercise. Some of you may go, hey, I don't know him. I don't know that I know the Lord, and I would love to talk to you about that tonight. Any of the leaders with these lanyards, anybody at your table, just share, man, I don't know that I know the Lord. We'd love to tell you the good news of the gospel. But when I started writing down things, it was really easy to rattle off many things, and I'm just going to tell you a few of those. I just said I would have never been satisfied. I would have always been looking. I said I would have given myself over to the God of my kids' sports. My kids' sports would have meant so much to me that it would have been ridiculous. It already can, you know, the cares of this world, that can be another one that can root up in me. And I could just see it. And I think my kids would have been embittered to me because I'd always been disappointed that they weren't as good as this other person. Because there's always somebody better, by the way. Okay? I would have, the opinion of others would have been my guide and it would have owned me. I would have been so wrapped up in that. You heard Aaron talk about that in his testimony tonight. I would have lived isolated from anyone who wounded me or who wasn't like me. And you know what? I would have missed out on incredibly rich relationships that were founded on Jesus. And I'm telling you, when I sat around that room with friends at this 50-year-old party, we just talked about the richest relationships, and it was all about because of Christ. And it blessed me. Life would have always found a way to disappoint me. That's the truth. And then the last two I want to share with you is I wouldn't be here tonight sharing the good news of Christ with you. I'd have been running my own race. I'd have been caught up in my own stuff. And I get the privilege of sharing the gospel and telling you about Jesus tonight, and it's a privilege to be with you. And then lastly, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to see many of you. When I'm sitting around the table, one of my favorite times, we sit around the table and I get to hear what God's doing in your life. And it strengthens me. I love being around other believers, and I love being around people who don't know Christ, and we get to share the good news of Christ with you. And so I count it a privilege to be part of this. I've told people many times, I said, Bron, what do you think about your new role? Because those of you who don't know, I was the student ministry director here for years, 17 years. And when I came to this, I said, I'm just getting to pastor again. And I love to pastor people. And so, let me just remind you, if wherever your heart is tonight, it's good for us to reflect. Don't buy into the lie that ignorance is bliss. Don't beat yourself up where you are. Run to the Lord. Run to his mercy. Run to his truth. Run to his goodness. But run to him. Don't run away. Don't let your heart become embittered or apathetic. And just trust the Lord. Grow in your love for him. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this parable. I'm just reminded, Lord, my heart so quickly can become apathetic, can become embittered. Lord, I can be tempted by sin to run to it. Sometimes I love my sin more than I love you. And would you forgive me? And I know you do. And I thank you that you paid for that sin, the sin I committed yesterday, today, and forever. You You are so good to us, Lord. Where the, as Hebrews says, where the blood of bulls and goats wasn't enough, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate high priest, and made a way for us to know you and to be with you, Lord. And so we thank you for the glorious inheritance, like 1 Peter talks about, that we're going to have one day. Would you remind us when our hearts become cold and embittered or hardened? Lord, would you root us up more? Would you help us to sit with you and know you and walk with you and root up in a way that when trial and tribulation comes, we can hold our ground and we can have an even if faith rather than an only if faith. And then, Lord, would you show us the weeds that are crowding out our soil, things that we're chasing and we know that they're not real, they're fake, they're fool's gold. And so would you show us those things, and then would you help us to run to you and walk with you in a more abiding, deep way? We thank you for Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen.